Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Well, we're continuing now in a series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon. The series is called The Wisdom of Solomon, and taking sayings, and we've been in this series for some time and actually have a good bit left to go because he had so many very famous consistent things that he would say, sometimes of his own creation, sometimes from somebody else, sometimes just a scripture verse or a word. And today is one of those. If you've been following along the series and you knew Rabbi Robert and remember him preaching, I know a number of you did, you have been kind of waiting for this message to come. You knew it would be coming at some point. It is such a classic of his, so you will know very quickly what the message is going to be about. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit first about a guy named Thomas Alva Edison. A lot of you have heard of Thomas Edison, very famous inventor. I mean, Thomas Edison, come on. And so he was in the process, this was now about 150 years ago, he was in the process of attempting to invent the light bulb. Okay, it seems very pedestrian and in today's world, but man, there was no such thing back in those days. He was seeking to invent the light bulb, but the biggest challenge was that he could not come up with a substance that would glow but not burn out. So he was having issues. He was trying to invent the light bulb, and there were lots of substance he was trying to kind of heat up that would light but not burn out. And most of them burned out relatively quickly. And so he began experimenting. He and his team began experimenting with different substances. And so he tested one substance and it didn't work. He tested two substances. It didn't work. Remember that each test, this was back 150 years ago. It's not like it was simple. You just went to the Walmart to get new supplies. Okay. Each test was significant in time and significant in expense. It was very expensive to run these experiments. And so finances were big too. He tested many things. He was looking for something that would be the filament of a light bulb that would light up, glow, but not burn out. And so what would be the substance that was needed to affect this light, if you will? And so he tested many things. He tested as a filament bamboo. He tested paper. He tested cotton thread. And this should tell you how desperate he got. He even tested a beard hair. Yes, my friends, a beard hair. Now, you think about that for just a second. How did it go that this guy said, let me test a beard hair to see if that might work? Now, first of all, you got to think that he was pretty desperate at that point. And it was probably just that he was there and he was looking around and there was Johnny there, and Johnny had a nice beard, and he's like, "We tried other things. Johnny, come here." And Johnny came over and he's like, Boing! Ah! He pulled out his beard hair. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, so Edison tested 10 different substances to be the filament for what he would hope to be the light bulb. He tested 20. He tested 30 different substances. Each one was laborious. He tested 40. He tested 50. He tested 60. He tested 100. He tested 200. He tested 300, 400, 500, 600. He and his team took years of everyday testing substances to try to invent the light bulb. Years, daily, failure after failure after failure. Edison and his team went through over 1,200 experiments. Over 1,200 substances before they discovered the particular filament in a vacuum tube that could last many hours. When asked, Edison famously said, "I have not failed. I have just found 10,000 ways that won't work." What an interesting comment. Edison is also the guy that said genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Yeah. But then what happened? He invented the light bulb, one of the greatest inventions of the history of the world. Make absolutely no mistake, my friends, Thomas Edison changed the world in a profound and a dramatic way, perhaps almost more than anyone in modern human history. It changed the entire world when the light bulb was invented. But wow, years and over 1,000. There's something to be learned here. Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians 6. What do we read here? It says this, Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, "So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't give up." If we don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I want to read that again for emphasis. Verse 9. "So let us not lose heart. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't give up." Don't give up. Don't give up. Now I want you to think about that in life. Don't give up. But not giving up requires something within you. Not giving up requires something special within you. And in fact, I'm going to tell you, it requires something that is in very short supply in today's world. And I'm going to give it to you early in the message today. It certainly was one of the most famous things that Rabbi Robert used to say. Because not giving up like this requires one thing. Patience. And that's how he used to say it. A lot of you remember that. And there was a reason. Friends, if Thomas Edison would have given up after 20 attempts, things would have been different. I'm going to tell you something. If Thomas Edison would have given up after 20 attempts, life for all of you would be different today. We would be maybe a generation behind in technology had Edison not persisted after 20 failed attempts. Can you imagine? I mean, I want you to think about this for just a second. Put yourself in Edison's shoes for just a minute. Because, you know, every time they did an experiment, they documented it. They It was the scientific method. They really analyzed it. And was there anything we can gain from this? You have to imagine Edison and his team. Okay, experiment number 724. What are we going to try this time? Let's light up a beard hair. Let's try that. Let's light up. It is very funny. Let's light up a beard hair. Okay, who wants to donate their beard hair? Okay, we had Hayward here last night. He's our Bethel member who's got the beard that was down to here. And we said, Hayward, and Hayward said, okay, I'll give it. And he offered up his beard hair. He's got a long beard, man. So Edison lit up the beard hair. Can you imagine? I mean, just you have to know that some of his assistants were like kind of side-eyeing each other like, is he being serious? Is he really doing this? Like, because let's just say hypothetically it works. What are we gonna? We gonna harvest beard hair? I mean, oh man, we need you to grow your. I mean, it's a little bit nonsensical to even attempt the experiment, if you think about it. And so, but they lit up the beard hair. Failed again. Seriously, friends, we're not talking about a few days or even a few months here. Years of experiments. This took unbelievable patience. Not in my having my notes, it's 99.999999% of people would have given up. You know that's the truth. They keep lighting up stuff and maybe it glows for a minute and they're like, and then it burns out. Like, I can't even imagine how many times they did that. As they lit stuff up trying to invent the light bulb. Well, you know, they could have easily said, well, looks like it just wasn't meant to be after experiment number 724. Well, looks like it just wasn't meant to be. Or for the really spiritual amongst us, it must not be God's will. Watch out! Oh, man, okay. No, Edison had patience. Okay, here we are. Experiment number 1,200. Let's try carbonized thread filament in a vacuum. Okay. All right. Let's try that. Yeah, the old carbonized thread in a vacuum, of course. Why didn't we think about that the first time, Tommy? Okay, light it up. Let's see. Ooh, that looks pretty good. Okay, let's see how long this. Whoa! The reports are that the whole Menlo Park lab erupted in excitement when it stayed lit for hours. They were like, oh my God. I mean, you can imagine the whole place just went bonkers. Oh my gosh, it's staying lit. What? We found it. We found it after 1,000 different years of experimentation. Man, you got to know they were excited, man. That was some serious celebration. In fact, it was just a few weeks later that they lit up a whole area and people came from trains from thousands of miles away just to see this new invention. I mean, we're talking about this was the biggest thing, the biggest invention in the world. Unbelievable, man. They said, but 1,200. But you see, my friends, they had patience. Similarly, the book of Galatians tells us not to lose heart in doing good. See, friends, patience is a fruit of the Spirit of God. To be patient is to be more like God. God is very patient. If you don't think God is patient, you don't know him that well. If you don't think God is patient, that really shows that he has been patient with you. He has been patient with us, that's for sure. You know, and the scripture says it applies in particular with doing good, with doing good. Isn't it interesting how sometimes you do good? I know that this has happened to you. It's happened to me. Sometimes you do good and you get a disappointing result. And you're like, oh man, hold on. That's not the way that was supposed to happen. You do good and you get a disappointing result. You know, that's where you get that old expression, no good deed goes unpunished. You've heard that expression before in the business world for sure. But here we read that it's not just about doing good. It's not just about doing good. It's about doing good and not giving up. Not giving up. You see, let's dissect this a little bit and let's think about this with some deeper thinking and to realize that the scripture is making an implication here that can really help us and liberate us in our lives and in situations that we are going through. What is the implication? Because if doing good always immediately produced a favorable outcome, then Rabbi Shaul would not need to tell us to not give up, to not lose heart. That wouldn't be necessary if doing good always produced an immediate, positive, reinforced result. He wouldn't need to tell us, don't give up. It would be like, of course, you do good and immediately great things happen. And so that just naturally encourages you to keep doing good. No. Him telling us, don't give up. Don't lose heart tells us something. The very reason he tells us not to lose heart in doing good is that great results do not always immediately follow. So we have to be patient and continue doing good. Continue doing good. James chapter 1, please. Yaakov chapter 1. Yaakov, very interesting. James chapter 1 here is a little passage, Rita, that honestly, I really don't particularly enjoy reading. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, there are lots of parts of the Bible that I love and that I amen and that I'm going to like, I claim it. James chapter 1 here in this certain passage, I'm not usually like claiming, but it's there. We gotta live it. Woo-hoo-hoo. Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Ooh. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Oh, okay. See, the testing of your faith produces endurance. Other translations say patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. Let's face it, when you go through a trial, when you're in the midst of a trial, you don't want to produce patience. I mean, let's just be honest. We're all on this planet together. When you're going through a trial, you're not saying, wow, boy, I'm going through a really, really difficult trial. I guess I should be producing greater and greater patience. People don't typically say that. I think I'm going to just really pray for great endurance. No, you want it over. You want the trial over and now, N-O-W, I want it over now. You know, it's interesting because years ago, I learned this lesson, and this lesson really helped me a lot, to be honest with you. It really transformed the way I thought about such things. It was really, I think it's if you want to grow in your spiritual walk and mature, it's something that really helped me. Oftentimes, believers, I'm speaking about believers here, when they are in a trial, we'll pray for deliverance. Lord, deliver me from this situation. Deliver me. It's so difficult. I'm in the middle of this and that. And Lord, deliver me out of it. Deliver me out of it. Deliver me, God. But the truth is, God is the one who put you in that situation to begin with. He knew that it would mature you spiritually if you would be able to have patience and persevere, knowing that the Lord would see you through it. See, people, that's not something that we naturally desire. But what did we read? What did we read in James chapter 1? Consider it all joy. You know, when I read that, I think of almost like the classic. There's an internet YouTube clip or meme of this little girl who's trying to eat something and it tastes absolutely horrible, and she's just a little girl, and it's a funny little video, but the mom's like, you like it? She's like, yes. She's on a little video. Yes, I like it. I like it a lot. And it almost feels like, consider it all joy. You know, the fake smile. Yeah. Very joyous. Going through this trial. That's what it feels like. That's what the scripture says. Consider joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. No, sometimes the answer is not, God, deliver me out of this situation, but Lord, grant me the patience to endure this trial. Grant me the patience, the endurance to be able, because I know you're going to take care of me. Hello. Okay. Now it says that we are becoming more perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's a maturing of our spiritual walk. When we cultivate patience within us. Otherwise, when we're just like, oh God, deliver me, you know, it reminds me of a whining baby. Whine, whine, whine. A lot of people, a lot of us, whine, whine, whine. You know, it's interesting. My brother and sister are in the back there, and they will testify to this. I remember my mom, a blessed memory. She was a woman of great patience, of great wisdom. She was one of the most truly, I mean, remarkable people that any of us have ever known. An absolute head above, and just remarkable in every way. And she was so good with people, and she was such a diplomat, and she was just great in every way. But I'll tell you one thing that she did not put up with is whining. Now, the reason I know this is, I'm just guessing, really. I'm just guessing. But I'll tell you this, man. You know, you could say different things to her and even this, but man, you start, but mom, you should be like, oh, and you could see something go off in her, and it's like the steam come out of the ears, and suddenly mom became dad. And she'd be like, oh no, you don't. You are not whining around me. Whoa, there's dad and mom right there. Oh man, she couldn't take somebody whining. No, 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 no. You don't whine. You know, this is a little bit what got my, he didn't whine as much as I did. I'll tell you that. I was more of a whiner than him, but mom cured me of it. This is a little bit of what we're reading here in James chapter 1. Sometimes God is telling us to grow up a little bit. Be strong, consider it all joy. Because if you learn patience, you will be a better person. See, if you learn patience, sometimes we go through trials. The Lord allows it. Why? To teach us patience. And if you learn patience, if you really get patience in your kishkas, you're going to be a different person. It will affect all the rest of your life. It will affect every situation that you go in. If you really learn patience. But here's the other interesting thing that Rabbi Robert used to observe. When people are in difficult situations and they know that they need some patience, they will, to God, demand it immediately. God, give me patience. Give me patience. They even say the word fast. Give me patience. I want patience. Patience. I need patience. Give me patience and give it to me now. Hold on. There's so many things wrong with that. Mazeh, what's this? Give me patience and give it to me now. Wow, that is quite contradictory. No, friends, sometimes you have to slow down your mind, slow down your expectations, and even, my New York mishpacha, sometimes you even got to slow down your cadence. Patience. Try it with me slowly. Patience. Some guy fell asleep over there. I heard that. See, if you lack patience, when you go through a financial challenge, it's going to be incredibly stressful. It's going to be overwhelming. But if you have patience, it will still be a trial. But you know that God will see you through it. Do you see what I'm saying here? See, oftentimes being patient is about trusting in God. Patience and trusting in God. They are very, very, very related. Being patient and trusting in God. Because if we truly trust that God will take care of us, we are more naturally patient. I mean, think about that for a minute. It makes logical sense, right? If you really, the more you trust in God, the more you trust God is going to take care of me, the more you trust, Lord, you have the power. You're going to lift me up. You're going to see me through this. The more you trust in him, the more you naturally are going to be patient. You're going through it. Well, okay. People go through things. I trust in the Lord. Do you see how the more trusting you are in the Lord, the more patient you will become? Luke chapter 2. I want you to think for just a moment about a guy named Simeon. Simeon from the scripture. Very interesting fella. Simeon got about maybe 5 minutes recorded in the Bible. Damien, it was 5 minutes. He had his 5 minutes of fame in the Bible. And by the way, it came when he was a very old man. Simeon, very interesting story about this guy. Just a small little passage about him, but wow, what a lesson we get from Simeon. Luke 2:25, it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem, where I was a week and a half ago. Wow, what an amazing place. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and pious, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was on him. And listen to this, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Anointed One of Adonai. That means the Messiah. Messiah, Moshiach, means Anointed One. Okay, so he's not going to die before he sees the Messiah, verse 27. So in the Ruach, in the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Yeshua to do for him according to the custom of the Torah, Simeon received him into his arms and offered a bracha, a blessing to God, saying, "Now may you let your servant go in peace, O sovereign master, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." By the way, in Hebrew, you're Yeshua, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. Wow, friends, that is a crazy story. That is an absolutely mind-boggling story, because I want you to think about this story for just a minute. I want you to really think about, let's examine this for just a minute. The Spirit of the Lord told him that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. So who knows? See, that guy, Simeon, might have been 16 years old when God, the Spirit, came upon him and said, "You're going to see the Messiah with your eyes before you die." And maybe he was 16 and he probably went, whoa, that was the Spirit of God that just spoke to me a prophecy. I'm going to see the Messiah before I die. And it was probably, pretty dramatic. Then 16 and a half came, 17, 17 and a half, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Year after year after year after year after year after year. Scriptures don't tell us specifically, but strongly implies that he was a very old man at this point. Can you imagine? This old man. Now, but here's what's interesting. It's a very small subtlety, but if you pick up on it, it's going to encourage you. Because it's a key. It says that this old man came into the temple looking. Pause for just a second. After so long, friends, he had been patient his whole life. Think about it for just a minute. Surely when he was 37 years old, he might have thought, did God tell you that? Did God prophesy that to you? I don't know. Well, that was 20 years ago. He certainly could have been that way. At 45 years old, he might have said, if it happens, it happens. I'll just kind of walk around and who knows? If the prophecy comes true, I'll just be walking around one day and then boom, the Messiah will appear and I'll see the Messiah. Okay, that'll be cool. All right, whatever. I'm going to go about my business. But that's not what happened. This guy, let's say he's 80 years old. He goes in the temple looking. At 80 years old, whatever, however old, the old man. He goes in the temple looking. Woo, man, that's pretty deep. This is a lifetime. A lifetime. Think about that for a minute. The greatest moment of his life was literally right before he was about to die. That's amazing, totally cool. But also, wow, you talk about patience. Man, that is some patience. Simeon believed. Think about that. Your life is going along on its trajectory just like every other millions and millions of human beings in the world. You've been given this great prophecy, and you're going along in life, your teens, your 20s, your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then suddenly his life becomes supernatural for 10 minutes. Absolutely more than anybody in the world today. Just like, that's a mind-blowing thing. That's just amazing. And then he dies. Oh my gosh. Simeon believed. Friends, I'm going to tell you something else. Faith is also related to patience. If you have faith, you will be more patient. Because faith is believing without seeing. And if you're going through it, you got to believe. That's faith. The more faith you have, the more patient you will become. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Because friends, also, let me say this. It's some bad stuff if we're not patient. Bad stuff. Exodus 32. For those of us from a Jewish background in the room here, not our greatest moment. Exodus 32:1 says Moses was up on Mount Sinai and he was receiving the commandments of God and he was taking a little long up there. Verse 1, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, get up, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. Oh, wow, wow. Boy, how easy they forget, huh? They were impatient. So there was Moses. I mean, we're talking about these people all saw the 10 plagues, the most miraculous miracles in the history of the world, and that none of us have even seen a fraction of what they saw, not to mention the parting of the Red Sea. We're talking about the most amazing things human beings had ever witnessed, probably have ever witnessed for all time. They saw with their own eyes. And the dude is spending a little bit of time on the mountain, a few weeks on the mountain, and suddenly they become impatient. Oh, man, are you kidding me? Do you not think God is a God of patience? Whew, well, you know, his natural inclination was to just wipe us all out and start all over with Moses. But you see, it's in his nature to be patient with us. So he, you know, Moses talked to him. And friends, when we are impatient, we similarly think that the Lord has abandoned us and we take matters into our own hands, which is what the children of Israel did. When you lose patience, you feel like God's abandoned you. So you're going through a trial or a difficult situation, or you just have a challenge in your life of some kind. It might be in a relationship. It might be something medical. It could be anything financial. And you pray, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. And you don't get an immediate positive result. Oh Lord, oh Lord. You pray longer, no positive result. Oh Lord, no positive result. God's not hearing me. God's not listening to me. I guess I'm just going to have to take this into my own hands, take action myself. That's what most people do. That's what the children of Israel did. They waited. It's not like they didn't give them a day or two. They gave them a few weeks. It was like, okay. It's like, no Moses. Holy Moses. What are we going to do? But finally, their patience ran out. It's like, well, I guess I've been, people feel abandoned. Sometimes you go through a trial that may last years. Gross. I don't wish it on us. But sometimes we go through trials that are years. And you know, when you're through a trial, it's years. Sometimes you feel abandoned by God. Hello. This just makes sense. And then when you feel abandoned by God, it's like, well, what's the use of prayer? Then you take action and take things in your own hands. This is not what we should do. This is what the children of Israel did. God's not doing anything. I'm just going to have to move forward. Don't do this. Remember, very interesting story from Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. You don't need to turn to it, 12 to 14. Daniel prayed and it took 21 days for the answer to arrive. Due to spiritual warfare between angels and demons. Very interesting story. It's like one of these stories that briefly opens the window to the spirit realm. he prayed, and his prayer was heard by God immediately, but the answer came back, and an answer was coming through an angelic being. And he was delayed by the scriptures say, by a demonic power, the prince of Persia came to fight against the answer and the angel. And eventually one of the archangels, Michael, had to come in and do some fighting. What did that look like? Man, I don't know. I want to see that in heaven. I got to see me a replay of that in heaven, man. Michael coming in. Man, that's better than any Marvel movie ever. Oh my God. But he's sitting there, and the answer, just a simple answer to a prayer, took 21 days, took 3 weeks for it to arrive to Daniel. This is Daniel. We're not talking about some schlep or a chebda. This is Daniel. That dude is, there's a book named after the guy. 3 weeks just to get an answer to a simple prayer. Friends, we got to be patient. Isaiah 40. Beloved, when we are going through something, we oftentimes need to stop. Stop. Oftentimes we're going through something, we need to wait. Wait, wait, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40 verse 30 says this. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run, not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Friends, here's another insight that we get from this passage that you need to understand. Weariness is the enemy of patience. It makes sense if you think about it. Weariness is the enemy of patience. When we are weary, we're more anxious and less likely to be patient. Why? Because you're a little bit wore out. I'm weary. I'm weary. I'm tired of this. The old expression in the South, not just tired, sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of this. I know that if you've said or thought that at a time or two in your life. I'm sick and tired of this. Oh my gosh. We just become so weary. And when we become weary, we become impatient. What does it say in Isaiah? Even youths grow tired and weary. But if you wait upon Adonai, he will renew your strength. You will soar. You will run. You'll not grow weary. You'll walk and not be faint. Friends, if we wait upon the Lord, the anxiousness leaves. There's a lot of people in the world today, especially in today's world, who battle anxiety. There are statistically a significant percentage of people in this room who would say that they struggle with anxiety. I understand. Scripture addresses this. If we wait, if we learn to wait upon the Lord, which is patience, if we really learn to wait upon the Lord, the weariness will lift. Anxiousness leaves. Because we're patient and we're trusting in Him. Oh, okay, Lord, I trust. I don't understand what's going on. This situation makes no sense to me. It's not for my advantage. I'm not enjoying myself, and I don't get this at all. So, but Lord, I trust in you. I know that you have my best interest at heart. I'm just gonna wait on you, Lord. I trust you, God. I'm gonna wait on you. So many people are just anxious about it. Oh, but what about this? Oh no, what's going to happen next? And how am I going to handle this? What am I going to do about this? Oh no. And to get all worked up and anxious about it. And it provokes something that's like almost a jittery spirit inside. Patience. Lord, I trust in you. You're going to take care. I don't know how you're going to take care of it. I don't know how long it's going to take. But as long as it takes is as long as it takes. It's kind of like a Yogi Berra comment, isn't it? As long as it takes is as long as it takes. I trust in you, Lord. See, that takes away anxiousness and weariness. Okay. Some of you need to hear this today. Maybe you've been banging your head against a wall in an area. Maybe you've tried to figure it out 500 different times. I know it can be frustrating. But be patient, my friends. It might be the 1,200th time when you invent the light bulb. We have to be patient. For my mom and dad of blessed memory, illustratively, it was decades before my loving brother, who's playing in the music team today, came back to the Lord. Decades. Trust me, it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. If you're patient, the trial that you've been going through will not last forever. Remember this, in the end, we will be celebrating in eternity, and all the stressors of this life will be like dust. We just have to remain patient. We're not finished with this topic. I want to say a few more things, but I want to ask the worship team to come up back onto the Bema, and they're going to play quietly. And I want for us today to simply practice some patience. I want you to let the music minister to you. And if you're going through something in your life, I want you to give it to the Lord. Release it to Him and to consciously think about having patience. Consciously consider waiting upon the Lord. Perhaps it's a loved one, some situation with a loved one. Let me give you the answer. Patience. Perhaps it's your boss. Patience. Maybe it's your finances. You guessed it. Patience. Think about whatever it is that you get anxious about in your life. Whatever it is that brings you anxiety. You ready? Patience. I want to ask everybody here to just close your eyes. And we're going to have a little bit of time where we just have the keyboard playing quietly, and I just want for you to spend some time with the Lord, and whatever it is that you're going through, any trials that you have, any anxiety that you have, stressors that you have, difficult situations you have, relationships, whatever it is, give it to the Lord, trust in Him, have faith that He'll take care of you, and ask the Lord, Lord, help me have more patience. And consciously choose, I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. Talk to the Lord about the situation. Your mind may wander at times. That's okay, but when it does, just circle it back to whatever your anxiety is. And just wait upon the Lord. Give it to Him. So just keep your eyes closed for a minute and your head bowed, and let's just spend some time with the Lord personally. may be wondering how long we're going to do this. Be patient. Give your anxiety to Him. Seated with your eyes closed, and I want you to listen to the words of this song and let it pour over you and minister to you.
In the morning when I rise, Lord, you open up my eyes to see the promise in your word of things I have not seen or heard. And as my faith begins to rise, that is when I realize you're a God who works for those who wait. You're a God who works for those who wait.
We wait upon the
The title of my message is Patience.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Erev Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.